I consider myself to be a fairly educated, sharp kind of guy that's pretty cool about some things. But I promise you, Paul and I have been married now for 22 plus years. We've been together for almost 30 years in that kind of sense of knowing each other. And to this very day, I don't know that I've ever beaten my wife playing tic-tac-toe. She knows that little strategy to be able to put the X's and the O's in the right spots in the diagonal way. And every single time I fall prey right to her tactics. Now, some of you women are sitting there going, mm-hmm, that's right. Pastor's wife knows everything. That's what it is. And that's fine. But she always beats me when it comes to making the right kind of move when it's on a tic-tac-toe board. Now, when we talk about moves, we always want God to move, don't we? I mean, we want God to move. We want God to move in the sense that we feel His presence. We want to be able to see His power and experience that. You know, when we've got a very serious prayer request and maybe there's a healing, maybe there's just some help that we need, man, we're praying and we want God to move. We want God to move and send revival to our church and send revival to our city and to our nation. And we want God to move on people's hearts, and we want to see men, women, boys, and girls saved and give their hearts and life to Christ. We want to see that happen, and we want God to move, and we pray that God moves in a special way, in a powerful way. But I want to pose a thought to you this morning. It's a question, and I want you to think about it throughout this message today. What if God's waiting on us to make the next move? Now, we know that God can make any move that He wants to make, right? He's God. We know that God can move in any particular way that He wants to move. That's totally up to Him. And we know that. But what if the next 75 years, as Bob Freeman just said a few moments ago, what if the next 75 years are dependent upon the move that you and I are going to make next? What if the next move is going to create that revival? What if the next move is going to create that breakthrough? What if the next move is going to allow us to be able to experience who Christ is and be able to see His hand of power move among us? What if the next move is dependent upon us? Now, if you think about it in Scripture for a few moments, the Lord has honestly given us the next move that we're to make. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus now has been crucified. He's resurrected. He's appeared to some of His disciples. He's about ready to ascend back into heaven. And He's giving kind of the words of instruction to His disciples and ultimately to us as He is going to leave this world, go back to heaven. And He says these words to us in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Notice as the directives that He lays out in those two verses there. As Jesus tells us and He tells the disciples what you and I are supposed to be doing. In essence, He kind of lays out the board. The world, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel in Matthew chapter 16. And He lays out the board before us that we're to share the gospel. We're to see men, women, boys, and girls hear the gospel, see them saved, see them baptized, see them grow in Christ. And He says now, the next moves I want you to make, He says, I want you to go. He says, I want you to make. He says, I want you to baptize. And He says, I want you to teach and to train those. He says, I want you to do those things. And by the way, this is not just a one-time affair. This is not just a one-time deal. Sometimes we think about missions and we're thinking about a missions trip, or we think about a missions conference, or we think about a certain missions project that we're working on. And those are all important. Sometimes those spearhead something. Sometimes there's a specific need. But the idea of going and making disciples is the idea of sharing the love of Christ. It's the idea of sharing the truth of the gospel message to unbelievers so that they can be saved, so that they can be baptized, and so that they can grow in God's Word. That's the idea of making disciples. And it's not just a one-time event. It's the idea of as you are going, as you and I are living our normal lives, wherever you work, wherever you live, wherever you play, the people that you see on a regular basis, that's the idea of going and making disciples. We're doing this as you and I live. It's an interesting study out of the book of Acts, and you find how the gospel spread. There wasn't this huge conference that Jesus called everybody together. Peter, James, and John didn't pull everybody together and bring all the churches together and say, hey, listen, let's formalize this strategy of how we're going to get the gospel all around the world. Now, these were not dumb men. They knew that Jesus had given them the direction. But as you study out the book of Acts, what you find is that oftentimes the gospel would spread from place to place because there was persecution. And they would go and share the gospel. And then honestly, when they were kind of run out of town or they were fearful for their lives, they would go into another area and they would begin to share the gospel. The idea is that wherever they went, they were sharing the gospel. They were sharing the love of Christ. They were sharing the truth of God's word. And they were trying their best to share the love of Christ, to share the truth of the gospel with unbelievers so that they could be saved, so that they could be baptized, and so that they could grow in God's word. That's what making a disciple is all about. And that's what God is asking us to do. But what if He's waiting on us to make the next move before the next 75 years of blessing and the next 75 years of explosion in the sense of sharing the gospel and seeing Virginia Beach and Norfolk and Hampton and Chesapeake and Suffolk and all of these areas thriving with the gospel message, knowing that people are being saved and lives are being changed. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands for just a moment, how many of you are game players, whether it's card game or board game? How many of you are game players? Just throw your hands up real quick. How many of you are game players? Okay. I'm just go ahead and tell you, a lot of people here are game players. My wife is a huge game player. She loves it. I am the worst game player ever, ever, ever. Do you know why I'm the worst game player ever? Because I'm that guy that you have to remind every single time it's my turn. I'm that guy. You know, especially if the TV's on, and it doesn't matter if it's a cartoon, a commercial, or a sporting event. I'm watching television if we're playing a game. And I'm that guy that constantly has to be reminded, hey, it's your turn, Dad. And then I always ask the question, well, what did somebody else just do? And you got to fill me in on everything that's happening, and everybody's doing this. I'm that guy. You don't want to play games with me. It's frustrating. Those of you that are game players, when you have to play with that guy, it's very frustrating, isn't it? I mean, you got your game kind of mojo going, and you're happening, you're winning, and you're moving, and the game's moving quickly, especially if you're playing Monopoly, you know, and you're going and you're going and going, and then there's that guy that slows everything down. This morning, I'm sharing this with you. I may be that guy when we're playing Monopoly, and I may be that guy when we're playing Rummy. But I don't want to be that guy when it comes to the salvation of souls. I don't want to be that guy when it comes to the gospel message being preached. I don't want to be that guy that hinders the gospel message going out and changing lives. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want you to be that guy either. And so today we are introducing, I've asked Michael to come and join me today, and you'll understand why in just a moment. But I've asked him to come today, and we want to kind of introduce to you, in a sense, of what our Missions Sunday emphasis is going to be about. It's very difficult sometimes for a visiting preacher or pastor to come in and kind of share a message and kind of share a thought and be able to do that in just one or two services. And so I wanted today to make sure that we kind of set up some things so that when we're here next Sunday, and by the way, more than just today and more than just next Sunday, I'm talking about for the rest of our lives, that we're in tune with what God wants us to do. He's laid out for us exactly the next move that we're supposed to make. And as we're thinking about these last 75 and we're looking to the future, to the next 75, these are the moves that God wants us to make. And today, as you see, even in your bulletin, our theme for next Sunday is make a move. Make a move. That's all God's asking us to do. He's simply wanting us to make a move. It's time for us to be intentional. It's time for us to be intentional in sharing the gospel. It's time for us to be intentional about sharing the truth of God's word and sharing the love of Christ in other people's lives. Why? so that they, as unbelievers, can be saved, they can be baptized, and they can grow in God's Word. That's what it's all about. And we do church on a regular basis, and we have programs, and we have ministries, and all of that has their appropriate place. But when you get to the heart of what Jesus wants you and I to do, it is to make disciples. That's it. That's what He told His disciples. That's what He has given to us for us to make a move to be a disciple-making Christian so people can come to Christ, they can be baptized, and they can grow in God's Word. That's what God wants us to do. And I pray that God enables us. I pray that as He is enabling us, I pray that you and I will consciously, on purpose, make decisions today that says, you know what, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be the person that makes a move, even this week. And I pray that happens for us. There's two main thoughts that I want to share with you today as it comes to this idea of making a move. And the first thought is this. If we're going to make a move, you first of all have to be a disciple. You have to be a disciple. Before you can be a disciple maker, or before you can make disciples, you yourself have to be a disciple. It's so important because you can't share what you don't know, and you can't share what you are not. And so today you may be sitting here, and you honestly, and just as plain and as simple as I can make it, you're sitting here today and you're not a Christian. I'm glad you're here today. Because as we've sung about who God is, and we've sung about what Jesus has done for us, hey, listen, oh, what a Savior He is. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I heard that earlier. That was good, whoever did that. That was awesome. That was good. Why? I got you, brother. Why? Why? Because He is awesome. He is wonderful. He is our Savior today, and He wants to save you today. Pastor Brent, how do I do that? You have to confess your sin. All of us are sinful by our very nature, and you simply have to confess your sin. You have to believe in the gospel message and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and then you simply have to commit yourself to live for Christ. And if a person is able to believe in their heart and confess that with their mouth, according to what the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, then you today can be saved. What a wonderful decision that is. What a wonderful time that is. And this world, when you live for this world, all you're doing is you're living for the temporal things. It will leave you empty. It will leave you brokenhearted. It will leave you wanting more. But when you give your life to Christ, not only is there eternal life that you gain, but you also gain a life with purpose. You gain a life with hope. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. As we go to Romans chapter 5, I want you to notice what Paul says that being saved gives a certain individual. And this may help you today. This may be the decision maker for you to finally give your life to Christ. But Romans chapter 5, I want you to notice verse number 1. Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," in other words, been saved, "we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Not only that, but we rejoice, he says, "in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." He continues on, verse 6. He says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time," what did Christ do for us? "He died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now," he says, "now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." He says, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." I'm glad today to just be reconciled with God. But I'm glad today to know Him personally. I'm glad today to have a relationship with Him, because now my life has purpose and it has value and there's meaning to my life, because now I have an abundant life that only God can give, but I also have eternal life, and you can have that as well. If you want to make a disciple, you want to make a move, you've got to first be a disciple. But then secondly, you've got to make a disciple. You've got to make a disciple. Again, it's time for us to be intentional about sharing the love of Christ, about sharing the truth of the gospel, so that unbelievers can be saved, they can be baptized, and they can grow in God's word. It's been now a couple of years ago, Michael called me. He was pastoring in Ashland, Kentucky at the time. And he called me and he said, would you be available during these days to come and preach some revival services at our church? I got back with him and I said, sure, that would be no problem. I was very excited to spend a few days with he and Breanne Harden. They just announced when I got there that she was pregnant with Harden, and very exciting days for their family. But I was excited to be able to be back in Kentucky for a few days and spend some time with Michael and Breanne and the church and be able to preach to the people there. Well, Michael and I kind of go back a few years of knowing each other. And you know, when you have a visiting pastor or visiting preacher to your church, you try to take care of them, as we do here with anybody that comes to our church. And you know, one of the things that pastors like to do is we like to eat. And we like to fellowship, you know, we like to talk and those things. And so, you know, I knew, being from Kentucky, I knew there were a few pretty good places to eat in Ashland, Kentucky, and I'm pretty excited. You know, on Sunday morning, he did exactly what he needed to do. Right after church service, we went and ate Mexican. You know, that was good. That's the new thing. You know, you're a preacher, you eat Mexican right after church. But then on Sunday night, you know, I'm expecting him to take me to a pretty good place to eat and be able to fellowship with some people in the church. And he said, listen, Mr. Patrick, he said, I'm telling you, I've got the perfect place we're going to go tonight. There's several people from the church that are going to go with us. And he said, listen, if you don't hear anything else I'm telling you, you've got to trust me on this. He said, I'm going to take you tonight to get the best plate of nachos that you've ever had in your life. I thought, okay, I like nachos, I'm good. We just had Mexican for lunch, I can do nachos for dinner. I said, hey man, where are we going? And then he said this word that I thought I'd never hear out of a preacher's mouth. He said, Denny's. Denny's. We're going to Denny's. You know, and I'm trying not to be disrespectful to him, but again, Michael and I go way back, and I said, what? You're going to take me to Denny's to eat nachos? I mean, not the all-American breakfast or not some kind of hamburger. We're going to Denny's in Ashland, Kentucky to eat nachos. I thought, all right, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. This is a weird thing, but we'll go to Denny's and eat nachos. I soon learned when we got to Denny's that the reason that we were going to Denny's was not to eat nachos. The reason we were going to Denny's was far greater than just us being together eating some nachos. The reason we were going to Denny's was because Michael and Breanne were concerned about making disciples.
Have you ever been a part of something and not understand God's design for you in that situation? That was my perspective of a situation, a relationship that developed between a waitress at Denny's, myself, and my wife. You see, when we moved to Kentucky, we spent a lot of time eating with some of the members of our senior saints group. And one of their choices was to go eat at Denny's. And I will stand by the fact that they are my favorite nachos to eat. But that choice, that day to spend some time there, began a 4.5-year relationship with a girl by the name of Sammy. Sammy was a waitress at Denny's. She worked every Sunday night, and she worked every Monday during the day shift. At Denny's, we began having a conversation with her, of course, based on food, but also based on our love for circle track racing, because I love circle track racing. And Sammy worked at a racetrack on Saturday nights, and then she would come to Denny's on Sunday night. And that began a conversation with Sammy and a relationship that built. And so I knew when Pastor came to town, that was our opportunity to bridge that from a conversation to an invitation. And so that evening, we went to Denny's. You see, Sammy was a first responder at a racetrack. And several months before that, she looked in the eyes of a man who was upside down in a race car, burning to death mere feet in front of her. So at that moment, her heart was ready to have a conversation. And that is why we ate that meal. And because of that meal, Sammy came to church that evening and heard later on that week and heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I'd love to tell you this morning that Sammy's a believer. Sammy is not. In fact, Sammy's an atheist. But you know what Sammy does know? She knows there's a family of three that lives now in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that loves her and cares about her and ruined their bodies for 4.5 years just to have a conversation with her. And that if she ever wants to talk about the gospel, there's a group of people that are ready to have that conversation with her. What we want to do this morning is not just give you a motivation to make disciples. We really don't even really truly want to inspire you to make disciples, because I'm trusting that all of you this morning understand that the last words of Jesus should be our greatest command on this earth. What we want to do, however, is give you the means and an opportunity for which you and I can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And this video explains it so well, so please check this out.
So how does this work? Well, let's learn by doing. This is Steve. He's lived at his house at 4th and Elm for about 7 years. He knows most of his neighbors' names, but only talks to a few of them. Steve wants to invest in his neighbors so that hopefully he can introduce them to Jesus. Steve would start out by drawing a simple tic-tac-toe board on a piece of paper. Then he draws his house in the middle. That's your free square. Next, Steve thinks of neighbors immediately around him and writes in the names where their houses are. If he doesn't know the name, that's okay. Just leave it blank. Steve's first goal is to fill in all the spaces around his house. So Steve needs to get out and meet his neighbors. How did he do it? Well, Steve owns a snowblower, and when it snowed, he went and cleared all the sidewalks around his house, then went to every front door, knocked, and introduced himself. Folks were so happy that he cleared their walk that they wanted to talk a lot. You may not have a nice snowblower, but you can always knock on a door and introduce yourself. Maybe hand out a card with your name and phone number so if people need help, they could call you. A plate of cookies is a great way to say hello. Maybe simply offer to go over and help someone with their yard. So Steve got all his spaces filled in. Steve's second step was to find out one thing he could be praying for each house. Now, because he had made such a great initial impression, people were happy to share. The best part about this is that 1 week later, he had a reason to follow up. The third step is to find out where each neighbor is in relation to Jesus. Do they know Jesus? Have they been turned off to church? Are they lapsed Buddhists? Find out where each neighbor is spiritually. Then use that as a springboard for simple conversations. The more Steve prayed for his neighbors, the more he grew a heart for them. When Steve's neighbors saw that he genuinely cared about them, they began to share more and more. Before Steve knew it, he saw his neighbors like Jesus sees them, with compassion. Eventually, Steve was able to introduce some of his neighbors, Frank and Lisa, to Jesus. That's the ultimate goal of this tool, that you can simply and clearly learn about your neighbors, know them, and love them like Jesus. As simple as that.
To be the hands and feet of Jesus, there's 3 points I want to give you this morning. The first one is this. You have to create a connection with somebody. As Pastor said, the command on our life as Christ's followers is to take the gospel message with us as we go. You look at the book of Peter, he says to be ready always to give an answer or an explanation of the faith that is within you. The challenge this morning for you and I is to be intentional about our relationships with people just like Jesus was with his. You see, Jesus intentionally created connections with people that didn't know him so that he could introduce them to himself. This is why we as Christians need to have a life. We need to have things that we can talk to people about, that we can create a connection with. For me, I have several different hobbies that are also connection points. I love food. I love hunting. I love history. I love racing, and I love my family. Yes, those are hobbies that I enjoy, but they're also points of contact that I can make with people to build relationships with them, and I can use my life to create a connection with them. So as you begin to fill in your tic-tac-toe board, find points with each person with whom you can connect. Whether it's the people that are sitting around you, whether it's the people in your neighborhood, find a way to create a connection with the people around you. Secondly, we need to cultivate with care. I believe that many of us understand the principle of the adage that is attributed to Theodore Roosevelt when he said, "Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care." However, for many of us, we struggle with how to cultivate relationships with care. You see, we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, but we think we are either too shy, too socially awkward, or just too insufficient to truly love with our actions. One day, Jesus was speaking to his disciples about how they could be his hands and feet to this world after he went back to heaven, and he said to them, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." And it gives us a great way that we can cultivate relationships with care, because we can simply look at a person and ask this question: if I was in that person's shoes, how would I want somebody to love me? In other words, if I just moved into the neighborhood, what would I want somebody in my neighborhood to do to make me feel welcome to the neighborhood? If I walked into a church for the first time and I'd never been there, how would I want somebody to treat me to help me feel at home and feel welcomed? If I was dropping my child off for the first time at school, how would I want somebody to talk to me? If I was sitting alone at a restaurant, what would I want somebody to do to make me feel loved? One way that we cultivated our relationship with Sammy with care was in the middle of the wintertime. Kentucky, it gets a little cold. And Sammy was telling us one night how her heat had gone out that week. And the HVAC guy had come by and diagnosed it was two relays that had gone bad, the entire system. These two relays cost $45, but Sammy could not afford it till the next payday because she just paid rent. As she's speaking, I didn't tell her I was going to pray for her. I didn't tell her I put her on the church prayer list. I pulled out my phone. I pulled up Amazon. I asked her address, and 2 days later, Amazon delivered those to her house. You see, we talk about caring for people, and we talk about being the hands and the feet of Jesus, but the truth is, whether you rake someone's leaves, whether you bake them cookies, whether you babysit their children, or whether you shoot the breeze across the fence, caring for people opens the door into their lives. Number three, we need to do this. We need to connect them to Christ. When I pastored in Kentucky, I got a phone call one afternoon from a friend of mine when I was out at lunch, and he said, "A guy just showed up to the church, and he wants to speak to you." Now, as many of you are judgmental just like me, that means somebody wants money, right? So I come back to church with this preemptive notion that this guy wants, he's bumming for money. But he said to me, "I want to be a Christian." So I was able to lead this guy to the Lord. Now, somebody else had already created the connection. Somebody else had connected or cultivated that with care. I was able to connect him with Christ. And the biblical principle that Paul writes about is this. 1 Corinthians 3:6, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." If you miss everything else this morning, please catch this. It is not your responsibility to lead the world to Christ. Let me say that again. It is not your responsibility to lead the world to Christ. It is your responsibility to do your part in each purpose, in each portion of God's plan to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. In other words, it's time to make a move.
A lot of times we hear a new concept, and with that new concept, there's always a couple of questions that come in. Maybe we've been challenged in a different way, and we always want to know how. So how is that supposed to happen? How am I supposed to do this? Well, I mean, Michael just shared with you just how easy that simply can happen. And by the way, every one of us can do those three things. But really, you're talking about sharing life with people. You're talking about sharing care with people. And ultimately, you're trying to share Christ with people. So how do we do that? He just laid that out very, very simple. And it's something that every single one of us can do. And so the second question comes in is where? So how are we to do this? Then where is this supposed to take place? I want you to take your Bibles now and go to Acts chapter 1. I mentioned to you out of Matthew chapter 28 that Jesus is giving some final instructions in the sense before he ascends back into heaven. When we come to Acts chapter 1, we see now that Jesus is ascending back into heaven. And literally right before he ascends back into heaven, he gives his disciples, he gives us the idea of what you and I are supposed to be doing, and how and where, that's the key part, of where we're supposed to be doing this. Acts chapter 1, notice verse number 8. Jesus says, "But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit." Now, some of you are sitting here like, I can't talk to people. I can't do those things. I don't have Amazon on my phone. I can't, and everything is I can't. And you know what? You can't. I can't. He can't. Bob Freeman can't. Nobody. We can't in and of ourselves. But as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So he says now, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he says, and you will be my witnesses. What's a witness? A witness is simply telling what they have seen, telling what they've experienced, telling what they know, telling who they are. You're just sharing who you are as a disciple of Christ. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Where were his disciples at this point? Where had they just been? Where were they most familiar with? They were starting in Jerusalem. Now, if you're playing tic-tac-toe, most everybody is going to start where? Here. You're going to start in the center, right? Now, some of you that are strategists, you start in this corner or this corner or this corner or this corner like my wife does and makes me look silly. But if you're playing with a child, where is that child always going to start? Right here. Now, I don't have statistics on this. And maybe there are statistics about this, but I don't know the statistics that say when you're starting a tic-tac-toe game, the percentage of first starts and first moves that always start in the middle. But I'm going to assume that's where it starts. Why? Why would you start in the middle? Well, in the middle, you have access to what? All the other blocks. If you start here, you don't have access necessarily to the top corner. But if you start in the middle, you have access to every single block. Jesus says, guys, you know Jerusalem the best. Now, ultimately, we're not talking about just Jerusalem. We're talking about sharing the gospel all around the world. And as Michael said a few moments ago, sometimes we feel like that we have to build the church. Sometimes we feel like that we have to save everybody. May I remind you, as Jesus said to Peter, he says, upon you, Peter, Petros, you, the rock, he says, I will build my church. Make no mistake about it, God's building his church. He just wants us to be bricklayers in a sense. He just wants us to make the moves that are in front of us. And he says, you start in Jerusalem. Hey, some of you are fishermen and fisher ladies. Where do you fish? You fish where there's fish, right? You fish where they're biting. You fish where you're going to catch the most fish. Where is this? It's in your Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? Look around you. Literally, I want you to do this for me. I want you to take your head and I want you to look all around you right now. Just do that for me. Do you know that church is a Jerusalem? Do you know that the restaurant that you're about to go eat at is a Jerusalem? Do you know the neighborhood that you're about to pull into is a Jerusalem? Do you know that your work is a Jerusalem? Do you know that your ship is a Jerusalem? Do you know that the ball field is a Jerusalem? Do you know that your family inside of your home is a Jerusalem? These are areas that we come in contact with every single day, every single month, every single week of the year. We come in constant contact with them. And this is our Jerusalem. And Jesus says, here's where I want you to start, guys. Start in your Jerusalem. Our ushers are ready in the back. And guys, if you don't mind, I need you to pass out some cards for me. These men are passing out some cards, and every person is going to receive one card. On this card is your own personal tic-tac-toe board. Now, please do not put X's and O's on that and leave that in the pew. Okay, if you're going to play tic-tac-toe with this and leave X's and O's, please take it with you so that the pastor doesn't have a... so the pastor doesn't get upset. You're going to receive this card, and this is your own personal tic-tac-toe board. You can write some things down. Some of you are already thinking about people. You're thinking about situations. I want you simply to, honestly, I want you to write your name in the middle. I just want you to write your name in the middle. As you write your name in the middle, you may need to think about this. You may need to pray about this. You may already know who's in front of you, who's behind you, who's diagonally from you. And you may take this and you may have one for work. You may have one for your neighborhood. You may have one for church. Because if I were to ask you right now to name the person who is sitting diagonally in front of you and diagonally behind you, could you name that person's name? Or would you be embarrassed and say, I don't know that I know you, even though that you sat beside me and behind me and in front of me week after week after week? Hey, listen, if we don't know people's names in church, how in the world are we going to know people's names out in the world? Sometimes it just starts at church. I want you to take this card with you. Whether it be today or throughout this week, next Sunday, even in the weeks to come. And I want you to begin to chart out, who is it in front of me? Who is it behind me? Who is it that's to the side of me? Who is diagonal to my right? Who is diagonal to my left? And listen, by the way, some of you that are teenagers, this can be in your classroom as well. This is everywhere you go. And you may have a separate, you may come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to have one for my neighborhood. I'd like to have one for work. I'd like to have one for church. And that's fine. We've got plenty to be able to give you. But you just may need one, and there may be somebody at work that sits in front of you, and you said, you know what? By God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do my best to connect them to Christ. I'm going to start just by talking to them. I'm going to learn their name. Hey, there may be somebody that's sitting behind you that you don't know who they are. An opportunity for you to be able just to introduce yourself and say, hey, my name is, I don't think we've had an opportunity to be able to meet yet. I'd like to introduce myself to you. It takes the awkwardness out. But I want you to fill out that card. Hang it on your refrigerator. Put it in the dashboard of your car. Put it on your mirror when you get ready. Put it in the front of your Bible. But I want you to keep it in front of you. And more than just filling out the card, I want you to be intentional about talking to those people. And I want you to be intentional about sharing life and care with those people. And I want you to be intentional to eventually talk to them about Christ and their relationship with the Lord. I want you to be intentional about doing that. Start with your Jerusalem. There's some things that you've seen. There's some things that you haven't seen. That even as a pastoral staff, we've talked about this over the last several weeks and last several months, that on a regular basis, yes, we want to share the gospel with everybody in Virginia Beach, and we want to share the gospel with everybody in Hampton Roads, and we want to share the gospel with everybody in the state of Virginia and around the world. But every single week, through our ECC, through our church, to the people who use our parking lot, the people who walk through these doors on a regular basis, every single week, we have people that come on this campus and go off this campus and come on this campus and go off this campus. And you know what we've done intentionally as a pastoral staff? We've intentionally started to step up our game in the sense of touching the people that are in our Jerusalem, the people that we come in contact with the most, to try to share life with them, to try to meet needs, to ultimately share the love of Christ and the truth of the gospel with them. That's what it's all about. Now, as you have your cards this morning, those of you that are astute tic-tac-toe players. If I place my X here, and perhaps as the game goes on and I place my X here, and if you're an O, what are you going to do? You're going to try to put an O here, right? Or if you're an O and you've got an O that's here and you've got an O that's down in the bottom corner and your next move is X, what are you going to try to do with your X? You're going to try to place your X in the middle so that the strategy is they do not get three in a row. Now, what do you think that the devil's going to try to do to us when we start trying to place our X's? He's going to try to put some O's in. Everywhere we're trying to circle this person and circle this family and circle this place, you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to put an X. He's going to try to get in the way. He's going to try to make sure that we fall, get discouraged, and we don't do what God's calling us to do. There's two verses I share with you. One is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says what? He says, listen, if you won't be weary in doing good, sharing the gospel, standing up for Christ, helping other people, connecting them to the Lord, he says, if you will not grow weary in doing good, he says, in due season, you will reap. What did Paul say? Paul said, some plant, some water, but it is God that gives the increase. And I don't know when Sammy is going to get saved, but I know this. I know that Michael and Brianne have poured their heart and life into her. I know that she finally came to church in those revival services. And I know that a clear gospel presentation was presented to her that particular night. I don't know when that harvest is going to come, but we're trusting that God's going to give the increase. Your job may be to water. Your job may be to plant. Your job may be the harvester that gets to come in and lead somebody to the Lord. But it doesn't matter exactly what our job is. Our job is to be faithful. And he says, in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. But I want to go back to Matthew chapter 28 for just a moment. Verse 20, Jesus says, go, make, baptize, teach. And then what does he promise us at the end of verse 20? He says, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, however this is taking place, he says, I will be with you always. Now, we're not talking about we picked up a hitchhiker and put him in the back seat. We're not talking about that we're Uber drivers and we've got somebody sitting beside of us. Hey, we're not talking about we've got another family member that we're taking them out to eat. The Lord has said, wherever you go and whoever you talk to and whatever situation that's going to be in, I will be with you. I want to tell you, if I'm going into war and I'm going into battle and I'm going into a situation that I'm nervous about and I'm going into a place that I may not know the outcome and I may not know exactly what to do, I want Him with me every step of the way. Some of you that are following with, I can't. You've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. God has promised you. He said, I will be with you wherever you go and whatever you do. And God is going to be our help. I said to you at the outset of this message, I said the way that you win this game is you get three X's or O's horizontally, you get three X's or O's vertically, or you get three X's or O's diagonally. Sometimes you play and the cat wins, right? You know, there's no more moves left. All the X's and O's are, nobody got three in a row. Sometimes you win and play and the X's win. Sometimes you play and the O's win. But you know what I've discovered about playing games? You can never win if you don't ever start playing. You know one of the reasons why God hasn't made a move? You know one of the reasons why that we have empty pews? You know one of the reasons why people aren't being saved is because Christian people like you and me aren't making any moves. We know everything that we've heard today. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know the truths of God's Word. We know that He's going to be with us. We know that we're to go and make disciples. But you know what we're doing? We're just looking at an empty board. That's all we're doing. And we're carrying around a nice empty board. Hey, listen, it's time for us to be intentional, to write names on that card, to write names on that board, and to go to them and try to do all that we can to share the love of Christ, the truth of the gospel, so that they as unbelievers can be saved, can be baptized, and can grow in Christ. That's what it's about.